Hare Krishna, our great fortune once again to hear His Holiness Bhakti by Bhagavad Swami Maharaj in Nectar of Instruction, Text 5 in Bhakti Shastri. This is day 6. We are going with dated 12th of November 2013. Hare Krishna.
All right, we had some outstanding questions from the previous slides before I complete the slides. And then we'll take the team presentation. So we were on this in terms of neophytes. There were some outstanding questions. Yes. Microphone. Microphone is at the back somewhere.
I was looking at the Prakita Bhakta and Hadnam Bhakta. Especially on the point of offering obeisances. Mm-hmm. And my question would be, Prakita Bhakta and Harinam Bhakta, they don't, Harinam Bhakta, he lives in the temple in the ashram, he has to stay in the sadhana, but according to the obeisances, the difference in the obeisances, the Prakita Bhakta does not live in the temple. Because you know, in the temple, you in the morning you go to the temple, you do your prayers, and so it's part of the etiquette between devotees.
Yes.
And is the Prakita Bhakta an initiated devotee?
This Prakita Bhakta is an initiated devotee, or in the sense that, like we said, we gave the definition of initiation. You know, it's like, if somebody is not formally initiated but they were connected to a bona fide guru and they didn't take that formal initiation ceremony, they're still good as initiated.
But actually initiated.
Oh, you mean that part? Okay. So you're talking about this. They're just initiated. Not actually initiated.
Well, I'm talking in a real practical sense. That you know, I've had in my temple there are some outside devotees, you can say congregational.
Yes.
They chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, and they come for Harinam or Sunday program or different things. But this formal obeisances to the floor is not practiced with them.
Yes, they are not aware due to lack of education and training. We agree. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. In other words, in many places, there may not be a temple nearby, and devotees are initiated in the congregation, so they may not be, you could say, education and training is not easily available immediately for them, and then they do get initiated through like getting, you know, recommendation from the regional secretary or zonal secretary, because no temple can give them, you know, recommendation. So it goes like that also. Yeah. So it requires education and training. That's why I feel quite strongly about it, that you know, devotees in the congregation should get some type of ashram training. Some type of ashram training should be there. So therefore in some places I advise them that they should come on a Friday evening and go back home on a Sunday morning. You know, including that, you know, if they have children, so if the temple has nice guest house facilities, they can come and stay and go. So that could be like a couple of weekends in the year. You know, periodically a couple of weekends. So they do get some sense of, oh, this is ashram life. It's quite different from what we do at home. So some training has to be there. It's true, I've seen congregation members, they don't offer obeisances because they don't know. Right. They may only offer obeisances to the guru. Because that's how they've been. That's all they know, in that sense. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Education and training. Okay, a couple of questions were outstanding from the previous discussions. Yeah. Yes. take it over your head. Wait 1 second, let us come over the heads here. Go ahead.
Maharaj, in our temple, we don't have...
Can you rephrase your question by following the norms? In other words, you know, everyone knows you come from Indonesia. As soon as you say in our temple, then the outside in the break, and what else happens in your temple? See the norm? Just say, for example, if this happens. Okay.
For example, if we don't have temple president, or even temple commander, and our service in temple under the senior devotee, and sometimes I'm not criticizing someone, but I think sometimes like he instructs with Sukhali how to deal with the senior.
Projects in ISKCON and so forth like that, we tend to do the needful, which we should, and we may put devotees in positions of decision making and responsibility that may not really have went through any education and training. Getting the point? But life has to go on in the temple, so you need someone to be in that position. And sometimes a devotee who is occupying the position doesn't know he is doing wrong. He is doing it according to how he sees best, without the education and training. Whereas someone else may see he may need some education and training. So, you know, that's left up to his seniors to send him for education and training, or we learn on the job through experience. And Prabhupada said, just to not console you, but just to support the person who is not experienced and not trained and is trying to make decisions, you know, like that, because that happens in this. And Prabhupada said, you can write it down. Good judgment comes from experience. Write it down. Good judgment comes from experience. And experience comes from bad judgment. Make sense? Good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment. In other words, you may be given responsibility to make decisions, but without education, training, so you may make a bad judgment, but that's an experience for you now to make a good judgment later on. And a lot of the examples I'm giving is for my own bad judgment, you know, that I have made. And so good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment. So that can apply to that person, and he'll learn on the job, in its life. Okay, yes. Well, I think this is the last question for this particular discussion, then we'll move ahead. Yes. Microphone on.
A devotee who chants 16 rounds daily, follows the four regulative principles, comes to the temple, is associated with a particular temple, say for 12 to 13 years,
yes,
but not yet initiated, nor has he taken the shelter of any particular spiritual master. Which category would it be? He is chanting 16 rounds, he follows the four regulative principles, he gives nice donations, nice subscriptions. Not initiated, not taken shelter also of anyone.
Yes.
And he's got a Siksha Guru in the temple.
That's fine. That's all right.
But he's not just a devotee.
So long as he's under some shelter. You say now he has a Siksha Guru.
Yeah, but
you know, for somebody to be 12 years practicing Krishna consciousness, you know, chanting, following the principles and doing nicely. For that to happen, they must be under some shelter. If you don't have shelter, it's not possible.
But he also has this in mind that, you know, Prabhupada's mind, spiritual mind.
That's all right. That's all right. So long as it's not in the way of those who want to get initiated. You understand the point? It's his own individual decision and choice. It should be encouraged, and it should be, and the practices should be encouraged. Now don't label him a Ritvik. He may not be that either. You know, in that sense, like that. Yeah. I have to look at my computer. I may put on some slides. I don't know whether I should do it. But there are quotations where you don't have to be initiated to chant the holy name to actually become purified of the reactions of your sinful activities. You can become purified. There are quotations of that extent. And I know of kirtaniyas, you know, devotees who perform kirtan, like that. And some of them will perform very nice devotional kirtan, but they are not initiated. And some of them may be even to, you know, born in the movement to devotee parents. They're not initiated. But the fact is that they have a taste for the holy name. You know, will carry them through. Will carry them through. You know, like that. But most devotees need to be initiated. Most devotees. You know, to strike the balance, most devotees need to be initiated formally and take those vows and keep to them. There's exceptional cases where people can still make progress without being formally initiated, but still under some shiksha shelter. Is that okay? All right. We're moving ahead with this. Your hand up in relation to this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have the microphone? Microphone on this side again. Just one more point on that. It's like there's no question of force in the process of devotional service of bhakti. So if somebody is following nicely and they are not concerned about initiation at the same time they are following nicely, we cannot force them. But we should encourage them to continue to practice Krishna consciousness. So there's no question of force in the process of devotional service. We cannot make a statement like, you know, and everyone else is initiated, what's wrong with you? You know, we don't do that. We also know from the other way, like I went through, as a personal example, I went through initiating guru that left, you know. Then I decided that I needed reinitiation. So I took reinitiation from another initiating guru. I decided that I need shelter all the time, you know, connected shelter, you know, family, things like that. But there are many who are my god brothers from the previous initiating guru who haven't taken reinitiation, and they're doing fairly well. A lot of them doing fairly well, like that. So it's an individual decision. And they accept Prabhupada. They do accept Prabhupada. And they do accept Shiksha also, you know, from senior devotees. So I'm just giving another type of example in relation to that. Yes?
I was wondering if you can set or define a level or define who is more superior or less advanced by type or the quantity of realization in Krishna consciousness you have. Because my slight unclarity is that sometimes you may have a specific realization about a specific matter, but the person which you thought would be, you know, more advanced, he's not really having this realization. So, I mean, that obvious that you cannot consider yourself higher than he, but at the same time, it seems a bit strange that he doesn't realize it. How did you understand?
Yes. one has to be careful not to, you could say in one sense, measure or analyze another person's realization. Like, I'll give you an example. Just like if you want real honey, where do you go for it? You want real, you know, genuine honey, uncontaminated, first class, origination, original, not touched. Where do you go for the honey? Beehive. But in order to get that honey directly from the beehive, you have to be prepared to be stung on the way. Right?
What does it mean, stung on the way?
Stung by the bees. So in a similar way, taking the same analogy, sometimes you may approach a saintly person who you consider saintly, but he may chastise you for no reason, and you get put off. You know, like you get a bee, stung by the bee, but you don't get put off because you know you're going to go for the real nectar. But a saintly person, you know, he may not smile at you, and he may do some odd thing also. He may do some odd thing. He can't be saintly. And he may chastise you for no reason. Oh no, he can't. Why? I didn't do anything wrong. Why is he doing this to me? So he can't be saintly. And he doesn't even smile. So never judge a Vaishnav by externals. You can't judge by externals. You can only judge by ongoing relationship and faith. And then gradually you get into their heart and you receive nectar. Like the honey, you receive the nectar eventually.
Is the realization to be considered external?
It depends on what you're saying. Because you know, somebody may not reveal the realization, they may keep it deeply confidential in their hearts. And they may act, you know, conversely, externally, and you may misjudge. That happens.
But you have to act according to what you have realized?
No. The aspect of associating with a sadhu or a saintly person or an advanced devotee is to the degree that you are becoming conscious of Krishna, conscious of Krishna's devotees, and conscious of the mission of the spiritual master, to spread Krishna consciousness. So in a broad sense, if that is getting to you, then this person is advanced, I need more of their association. And when you do hear them speaking in classes, and they may speak something that will enter your heart, but the same speaking may not enter somebody else's heart, because it's based on faith and relationship. It's like you may hear from someone you don't know, and you may be impressed, but it doesn't enter your heart fully. But if you hear from someone that you already have an attachment for, you know, then immediately what they say will enter your heart. Like that. So it depends on these various factors. Of course, if you attach to somebody and you hear from them and it enters your heart, you become purified, become more Krishna conscious. But there was a stage when the attachment was in the beginning stages. So over time that attachment has developed in a deeper way. That's also there. Like Prabhupada used to say, what is that English saying? So then somebody will say, the first impression is most often the lasting one. Right? In the material world. First impression is the lasting impression. For that we, in preaching, we have to be giving a good first impression to people, otherwise how will it last in them to come for more of what is Krishna conscious, you know, to bring them in. But do not apply this in the association of devotees. Do not apply that the first impression is the lasting one. Do not apply that. Because we may be making a mistake. This person may be very advanced. You don't know. They themselves don't know that they are advanced. But they are acting in a way that's not compatible for you and compatible to you.
Yeah. Are there like specific standards how advanced devotees should behave and shouldn't behave?
No, an advanced soul does not know that he or she is advanced. They are normal in their behavior. But you can judge by two things. You can judge purely in one sense, it's also to some extent external, but you can judge their attachment for chanting a holy name and their attraction for the favorable association of devotees. They are always attracted to be with devotees. The two primary things. I'm constantly emphasizing this, you know. And that you can check like that. And also, one person may be compatible with one particular saintly person, another person may be compatible with another saintly person. So there's a variegated sense of compatibility also, that's individual. Mm. Like that.
But realizations are there independent about those relatives, gunas or whatever. I think this particular spiritual master is more attractive to me. This is based on the guna, on your mindset, whether experience.
If you want to accept somebody as a diksha or shiksha, Guru Prabhupada advises us that you have to test them for at least 1 year and they should test you for 1 year. And if after 1 year you are satisfied, then you accept them as diksha or shiksha guru. And if after 1 year you're not satisfied, then you move on until you get somebody that is satisfied. That's it. I mean, without offenses. That's Prabhupada mentions that. So there has to be some, you could say, time-tested. You know, time-tested. Over time, you will know better. On an ongoing basis.
So to summarize, basically what I understood as a reply to my question is that you cannot make an objective judgment on persons or what person realizes or what person.
You can make an assessment over time when there's mutual testing. Mutual testing. Like you inquire, you be submissive and you render some service. Pariprasnana Seva, you render that service. But that requires time tested, it is over time. And Prabhupada recommends at least 1 year. We have the quotation, we do it in a course called ISKCON Disciples Course. And through that, you know, you'll realize the realization of the person that you are. And you will realize where you're at to bring you up to some internal maturity of realization itself.
So even in that 1 year passed, and you actually made some kind of more or less objective opinion. So
if you're not satisfied with it, then you test another person. That's all right. That's okay. Like there's no question of force in the process of bhakti. You have to voluntarily accept to be on the shelter.
Okay.
Alright, I'll move ahead with the slide and then we'll take the team presentation. Harinam Bhakta transition to Madhyam Adhikari. We also said that this is neophyte and this is Madhyam Adhikari, although the definitions are the same. Okay, so the Harinam Bhakta is the best of the neophytes and at the same time transitioning to the beginning of Madhyam Adhikari, which is in these two quotations we gave you earlier on. then the Madhyamadhikari itself has received spiritual initiation from the spiritual master, has been fully engaged by him in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. A Madhyamadhikari is literally always engaged in devotional service. Practically, literally and practically, always engaged. The Madhyamadhikari is a devotee who worships the Supreme Lord as the highest object of love, makes friends with the Lord's devotees, merciful to the ignorant, and sometimes we say innocent, ignorant and innocent, and avoids those who are envious by nature. And those who are envious by nature are basically Mayavadis and atheists. In other words, don't waste your time preaching to them. There's so many innocent and ignorant people that can be preached to. So he discriminates on the level of preaching. Okay, so this is the level when one is fixed in that one can discriminate between the other levels of how to associate based on relationship and faith. Okay, this is all in your book, page 48 and 49. Alright. How many of you have heard the statement that there are no pure devotees in ISKCON, only Srila Prabhupada is the pure devotee?
Classic line.
Classic line, yeah. How many of you have heard this? Yes, I have heard this numerous times. Yeah. This is not a fact, which we will discuss now. Uttama Adhikari. An Uttama Adhikari is not interested in blaspheming others. His heart is completely clean and he has attained the realized state of unalloyed Krishna consciousness. Your question, it says attain the realized state of Krishna consciousness. Realization is there. But this realization for an Uttama Adhikari here is not for propagation, not for sale, not for argument, not for debate, not for reasoning, not for logic. So you wouldn't know. And he himself always realized he doesn't know that. So he's free from the propensity of Vaishnava Aparat. Now, Srila Prabhupada gives a more practical definition of an Uttama within ISKCON, and at the same time this may not be supported or accepted by people outside of ISKCON. Because I actually discussed this, and when Gaudiya Math Sannyasi, he was reading Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion, he said, how can Swamiji say this? I said, Swamiji said that. I said, it's referring to ISKCON. You may not accept what we accept. So Prabhupada says, out of many such Vaishnavas, one may be found to be very seriously engaged in the service of the Lord and strictly following all the regulative principles, chanting the prescribed number of rounds on japa beads, and always thinking how to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. Such a Vaishnava should be accepted as an Uttama Adhikari, a highly advanced devotee, and his association should always be sought. So we go by that practical definition, and I know of many devotees who fit that description in this country. So we have many Uttama Adhikaris. In fact, it is the glory of Prabhupada in the process he has given us. If one says that there's no pure devotees in ISKCON and only Prabhupada, that is like insulting Srila Prabhupada. That is, he was not potent, you know, to give a process where others can become pure. And then an Uttama Adhikari, Vaishnava, can be recognized by his ability to convert many fallen souls to Vaishnava. That refers to Prabhupada himself and his followers who are doing that. Okay, then I'll take the last slide in this series, and then we'll take questions, and then we'll go on to the... I'll take your questions soon enough. Somebody asked a question of who is a pure devotee. Remember the discussion, was it? So this is a slide we have coming to this point. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that a person who simply chants the holy name of Krishna once becomes perfect and should be regarded as a Vaishnava. This is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Upadesha Vita 5, which is the verse we are doing. Krishneti yasya giritam manasa riyata. Then he further on says, this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, when one is situated on the neophyte platform, that means beginning platform, one cannot understand the devotional ingredients of a pure, unalloyed devotee, of an Uttama Adhikari. In other words, you cannot decipher that person. You cannot, you know, you cannot even understand the mind of that person. Like that. However, when the novice, which is the neophyte, engages in devotional service, especially in deity worship, and follows the order of a bona fide spiritual master, he is a pure devotee. What does that mean? It indicates, just like you get a professional, Prabhupada, just to give the example of a professional and an apprentice. You know what's that? Now, if the apprentice follows exactly the instruction of the professional, the result will be the same. See? So you may not be and a professional, you may not be self-realized, but if you follow the instruction of the self-realized, the result is the same. So therefore you're considered a pure devotee, because you're following the pure instructions of our self-realized soul, unlike pure devotee. Anyone can take advantage of hearing about Krishna consciousness from such a devotee and thus gradually become purified, including this novice. In other words, any devotee who believes that the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord, believes means, you know, the philosophy. He may not be self-realizing, but believes. Yes, Krishna's name, and Krishna non-different. The name, holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord, is a pure devotee, even though he may be in the neophyte stage. By his association, others may also become Vaishnava. Questions.
Is the upper part part of the third part also?
It continues. Yeah. Okay. I just left out some words there and just kept it three dots. And, do you have more questions on the pure devotee thing, you know, you asked earlier, after this quotation?
Yeah, I think in the purport for this chapter we're reading, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that one can take shelter of Madhyama Adhikari.
Even a Kanishka?
He doesn't mention Kanishka.
At the end of the purport.
Does it? Okay. But it's advised.
Of an Uttama Adhikari.
Yeah.
And how you recognize an Uttama Adhikari? Yeah, yeah.
So,
there are plenty like that in this.
In this, the last.
Okay.
Is it Uttama Adhikari there or is it?
This is the pure devotee in a neophyte stage.
Right.
But nevertheless, is a pure devotee. So long as you're following the pure. So long as you're following a pure unalloyed devotee. Like in the formative years of ISKCON in Krishna consciousness, you know, Prabhupada didn't personally go out and make devotees like that in the formative years. You know, he initiated devotees in 22nd Avenue, then he developed them and gave them more instruction. But they went out to preach also. Right? Book distribution, Harinam, Pasaran. They went out to preach. But they went out to preach as apprentices. But because they're following the pure devotee, they had effect on others to become devotees. And then after so many years of practicing Krishna consciousness, 30, 40, 45 years, they themselves became pure and unalloyed, and they also fit this description here of an Uttama Adhikari. Right. One second, I just want to say one more thing. Srila Prabhupada was somewhere in Australia, probably Melbourne, something like that. So he gave a wonderful lecture and so forth, and he asked for questions like that. And the question was about advanced devotees. And at that time in ISKCON, I think it was like the talk and news when like two sannyasis left their ashrams during Prabhupada's time. There were more, but in that time when he was speaking, it was like recent, you know, two sannyasis left their ashram. So one devotee, Prabhupada asked any questions, so one devotee asked, you know, Srila Prabhupada, how can an advanced devotee fall down? Because they asking the question, the two devotees were in the sannyas ashram, they considered advanced devotees, and then they fell down. So he asked Prabhupada the question, so how can an advanced devotee fall down? So Prabhupada knew what he was talking about. And at that time he was translating the eighth canto about the crocodile of Maya and Gajendra the elephant. And he mentions in the purports about Maya falling down because of those two sannyasis. So Prabhupada replied one sentence. He said, an advanced devotee never falls down. One sentence, an advanced devotee never falls down. And the devotee was satisfied with the answer. So in other words, Prabhupada took risks, and you know, he gave people sannyas with the idea that they will advance. Like that, he gave people first initiations who they had in advance. He took that risk like that. But if you're really advancing, you will not fall down. In other words, you'll go more, better, advance in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, spiritual advancement is eternal. But once a devotee who is advancing feels that he is advanced, then he will. He can't go further up. He can only go down, like that. So Prabhupada said something, an advanced devotee never falls down. He's always advancing. So that's how the devotees are discussing it, his answer. In that sense. Yes?
According to, the first definition given of a Smaila Kari,
this one? Yes.
Sorry, the third one.
Bottom one.
Yeah, I can't understand how. I can't understand Gaur Kushradas Babaji's position.
The?
Gaur Kushradas Babaji. That he wasn't he on the topmost platform of devotional service, but he doesn't necessarily do extensive preaching. So
yes. Gaur Kushradas Babaji preached by his own example. In that sense, at the same time, you could say he was a mix between a Goshtinandi and Bhajanandi. You know, he didn't really actively preach by traveling and so forth, but at the same time he did preach because he accepted Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati as his only disciple. See? So he was more in the sense of a Babaji, that's not the title he's got. So they restrict themselves to staying in the holy places, they don't go out of the holy places. And in that sense. So he is accepted as one of our previous acharyas. At the same time, he gave shelter on the order of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur should take his shelter. Gaur Kishoradas Babaji.
How do we accept him as a Ismaila Kari in terms of...
He fits the description of Uttama Adhikari more in the sense of the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam. A definition that he's not preaching actively, and he fits that. But at the same time, he does preach because you know he could easily detect somebody coming with the wrong motivations, you know, for his blessings and for his teaching. So he tells them straightforwardly, and that's all. Is that okay for now? Okay. Other questions? Yes. No, it's on two pages, 50 and 57.
No, 51, the next.
This one? Yeah. Let's see your book cover.
No, 50.
Oh, you have another book. All right, but it's there. It's there, okay. Mm-hmm. We want to take the team presentation now? Someone more? Okay, yeah, fine. Yep.
If I look at the first definition of Udamadhikari, and then I look at the last definition of a pure devotee, I'm not really sure what to look for. Do I look for a completely clean heart and unalloyed Krishna consciousness, or do I look for sincerity, which is, doesn't matter whether it is, you know, it has passed some time, you know, it's like a stable sincerity or not stable.
Fully understand. Okay. Let me ask you, where are you situated, in which devotee community? Apart from being in Mayapur, you go to back to your devotee community, right? Where are you situated?
I'm not sure where I'm going to go back to after Mayapur. I have got like several communities where I come and go.
Yeah. So, I'm using him as an example for everyone else, and in that sense, like that. When the consciousness is still searching for shelter, you know, one's own consciousness is still searching for shelter. So one should detect in one's consciousness that I could find some shelter in this person, and develop that. Whether it's in a diksha or shiksha guru, it doesn't matter at this point. So, sometimes looking for shelter in a person, irrespective whether they are kanista, madhyam or uttama, the main point is to make advancement, that this person is more advanced than me, let me get the advancement. Prabhupada used to say something like, even if they are 2%, and even if they are 2% better than you, get that 2%. Get that 2%. So when one is looking for perfection in somebody, and one is not perfect in themselves, but they want to come to the perfect platform under the shelter of somebody who is perfect, you may not necessarily find that immediately. So look for someone who is advanced, at the same time, you know, they are not like, you know, if you're looking for a perfect ideal, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Devotees, even advanced devotees, do make mistakes. But they don't make mistake in one thing. They follow the regulative principles, they chant minimum 16 rounds, and they engage in the devotional service of the Lord. You know, like that. But they don't make a mistake of not following. They may make mistakes in the execution of like some practical services and so forth. So that's not a fault. And that's it. So my sort of advice to somebody who's searching for shelter, as soon as you find somebody that you're compatible and comfortable with, explore that more. Just explore that more. You'll find that. See? Otherwise, one may keep on looking and looking and looking and land up not finding any shelter. Like that. So, but there is shelter to be found if you actually are sincere in your own endeavor. And Krishna makes that higher arrangement. He does make that higher. Is that all right?
One last question.
Okay.
How not to, because whenever we start speaking about pure
pure or impure, you start making judgment. And how does not commit offenses during this?
He's saying that when you start looking for pure and impure, you start making judgments and there may be offenses to that. Yeah. So there is a basic eligibility. If you yourself are following the process nicely and you're trying your best from your own perspective of following the four regulative principles and chanting, if you are a regular sadhaka, chanting minimum 16 rounds, like that. If you try your best to do that, then Krishna will protect you from not committing offenses. That's one point. But in the process, if you do commit offenses, then Krishna will reveal that to you that you offended this person, and then you have to go and beg for forgiveness. That's about it. But it depends on the basic standard of pure devotional service. And the basic standard of pure devotional service is to follow the four regulative principles and chant minimum 16 rounds daily. You have to have that eligibility of doing that practice for this to happen, for your offenses to lessen, or for your offenses to be revealed, and you become purified of it, or by, you know, by begging forgiveness or otherwise.
But the actual judgment is not offense by itself?
No, if you do that, if you follow the basic standards of pure devotional service. Right. Like you can even discuss the consciousness of somebody you feel is advanced with somebody else, but it's in a positive way because one is wanting to seek shelter. You know, one has to make a decision to surrender onto somebody. So that is not an easy decision to make. So you have to really, you know, from all sides, you know, you really have to make a very informed decision. And who you want to surrender. This is important. And I would advise, take your time about it. Don't rush into such a thing. Take your time and you're comfortable that you can surrender your life to this person, surrender your Krishna consciousness for development further of your Krishna consciousness to this person or persons, more than one. Take your time. Yeah. Okay, where is our team? Come. Do you know what to do now?
Can I turn off the display?
How you do that? That ask him.
Can I, without turning this off, I want to do certain things without making
Please, one minute.
Yes, please.
open it. Go to slideshow. Go to the beginning. Now what did you do? Okay, so I'm closing it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's closed now.
All right, to open it again.
Open it again, same thing there. See this black one?
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. You need a microphone?
Yeah, probably.
Here's a microphone. Ready now?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hare Krishna. Happier at home or with non-devotee friends, because I almost always get disturbed in interacting with devotees. This is the expression of one of the devotees, and the task is, how can we help this devotee? And in doing this, we are trying to bring out the points that we discussed in terms of different levels of devotees, and we have tried our best. So here is theme 1, where devotees are waiting to take darshan of Sri Sri Radha Madhav during the 7 a.m. Darshan. Curtain is open. We have a sannyasi taking darshan and a few more devotees there.
He was criticizing me in front of many devotees. Earlier also I have got a bad experience, like I was in the line of our taking prasadam, the person in front of me, they give 2 gulab jamun to him, and when I ask, they give me half. What is this all? How this is happening? I don't know.
What do you have to do? You have to do something else then?
I have to read something, but I read from the book.
What display you want?
No, nothing.
Is that fine or you want it off?
It's fine.
No, but it will be in there on the eyes.
Okay.
I can put it off.
Put it off.
Okay. Go ahead. What are you going to use?
Okay.
I think this.
Okay.
Just figure it out.
Sure.
So I enable Kanishtha Adhikari's definition reading from text 5, page 49, purport. A person who is very faithfully engaged in the worship of a deity in the temple, very faithfully, as we saw, but who does not know how to behave towards devotees or people in general is called a Prakrita Bhakta or Kanishtha Adhikari. Now we're going to the next scene where this bhakta is at home and let's see what's happening.
You mean he left the temple?
No, this is a different scene. So that first scene was in the temple, now the same bhakta is at home and he is relaxing.
No, but I'm asking, did he leave the temple?
No.
Be at home.
He just took darshan and had the experience and not that he's staying at, he's not living in the temple.
Oh, he's still staying at
home. He's still, he visits the temple, but he doesn't stay in the temple.
Ring, ring. Ring, ring. Hello.
Hare Krishna.
Hello, who is there?
It's Krishna Das. You remember me?
I cannot recall you.
Raja?
Yeah. Krishna Das. Yes, yes, yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
I gave you some prasadam last time. You remember?
Yeah.
I just wondered, I haven't seen you in the temple for some time.
Yeah, I just want to tell, or you must be knowing, I don't know. I'm not like happy to come to the temple. Every time I just came like in past some months and I've been disappointed by so many things. You must be knowing or not, I don't know.
Oh,
so
I didn't know. I didn't hear anything. I just didn't see you there anymore. So I'm very sorry to hear that. I was very happy to have your association.
But for me, it's like more of disappointment, what I say. I am more happy, like, at home.
Oh, yes, I understand. But I really would like to see you again, so I would like to invite you. We have a Kirtan Mela tonight. Would you like to come?
Not sure.
I would be very happy if you came. It's at 5 o'clock. And there will be many devotees there, and there will be nice prasada, and I can sit with you. We can be together.
Okay, then I'll see that while coming, I'll try to meet you only, not others.
Okay, see you by about that.
Okay, thank you.
Now there's a Kirtan Mela happening in the temple, and as you saw, this Bhakta Rajat was invited by another mature devotee, Krishna Das, and now it is Kirtan Mela in the temple.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Rajan Prabhu, very nice to see you. Thank you for coming. You enjoy the kirtan?
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah. I'm very happy to see you here. Look what I got for you. It's a Mahaprasad. Radha Madhava. Jai. It's so nice to have your association. You were always have been very appreciative to be with the devotees. So I'm very happy now to see that you come together with us again.
I told I was a little disappointed and not happy. Very, very, like, a happy situation for me.
But yeah, but you're such a nice person. Thank you for coming. Though, you know, when we have kirtan, I usually turn off my phone.
Mine's on.
Yes, but usually I personally turn it off, or if it rings, if I forgot to turn it off, I don't take it. It's best not to take it during kirtan, so we focus on the kirtan. And also, I must say, during kirtan, it's not so good to the holy name to chant at the same time.
I will not chant.
Yeah, we try to focus on the kirtan. Okay. I want to ask you, actually, this is the month of Kartik. I was very much like, if you could come to the temple to Mangalarti tomorrow. It's very good to be come to Mangalarti. It gives the strength in spiritual life and you will be able to chant more also. How many rounds you chant now? Two rounds. So I will encourage you, please come to Mangalarti to give us your association tomorrow and maybe more days, and also increase your rounds to 4 rounds. Okay? Nice to meet you, Rajesh. Hare Krishna.
Oh Krishna, again a force like pushing, come for Mangalarti. Kartik is going on. Two rounds I am doing. It's like what I said. I was just having to do 4 rounds. Oh my. Still like something is good for me that Prabhuji always gives to help me. Like, so what I think I should be doing something good. Let's try to go for Mangalarti. Hare Krishna.
Now we look at the characteristics of the Madhyamanikari. The Madhyamanikari is a devotee who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the highest object of love, makes friends with the Lord's devotees, is merciful to the ignorant, and avoids those who are envious by nature. So after this interaction, Bhaktarajat was continuously cultivated by Krishnadas Prabhu, and by his loving dealings and his constant association and by escaping Bhaktarajat, Bhaktarajat had good transformation in his life. He increased the number of rounds that he has been chanting, and eventually he started to come regularly to the temple, and he took the decision of coming to the temple on the weekends and eventually try to take up a bhakta training program in the temple. Hare Krishna.
we don't need to. Yeah, go ahead. It's okay. How many of you have experience maybe of devotees? I am just feeling marvelous. In your devotee community locally where you come from, how many of you have experience of a devotee or devotees that always run into difficulties with other devotees, no matter what they do? You have that experience, right? Yeah. So how to deal with that, you know, like that we have one we had in the drama. In other words, other devotees are interacting nicely and there's nice association and so forth. But this particular devotee has a sense of a karma chemistry or something like that, and he runs into difficulties all the time for the other devotee. So do you have experience of how you deal with it and share it with us? Yes.
In the past, I've decided to work with authority.
You decided?
Sorry.
Decided to?
Speak with the authority.
And then?
So just made, like, if I've made an observation, rather than correcting them myself, mm-hmm. the authority said, Prabhu, just to let you know, this individual, so and so, you can have a word.
But there's two things to be considered. One is that the devotee feels that he's running into trouble or he's running into difficulty and problems and challenges in the association of other devotees, like every side he turns. But he's not seeing that he may be the problem or he may not even be the problem like that. So you want to correct him because you feel he's the problem, or how does it work?
No, in the sense that, like, that specific example mm-hmm. of taking darshan,
yes.
like something similar has occurred with Etika, and rather than correcting him myself because I'm nobody to do that,
mm-hmm.
I just in passing said it to that individual who's, say for instance, someone was cultivating him, and
yes.
probably by the way.
Okay, good. So that's one method you use, to refer it to somebody else who can actually help the person. And sometimes, I'm rephrasing the scenario. Sometimes even if the devotee has went through education and training and knows what to do correctly, but still by his own nature or something to the effect, he runs into trouble all the time. What do you do? Yes?
Sometimes what has worked is playing the first person role. You speak to the devotee directly,
mm-hmm.
and you narrate a story which happens to be of the devotee you're speaking to,
mm-hmm.
as a first person. And then you can go from it and say, you know, if this person was...
Okay, come to the front. He's got too many role models there. You go, you are in the drama. Stand next to him, he's going to tell you something. Like a story or something. Right? You're role playing. Go ahead. So he's the one that runs into trouble.
Prabhu. Hi Krishna. Hi. You okay? Good. It's been a little while. Huh? You doing good? Let me sit you down. there, you know, Radha Madhava was looking so beautiful, right? Incredible. So just amazing. Sometimes, but you sometimes find it, like, you know, if you're, you know, you're trying to take darshan, and, you know, we're not of the highest height, you know, and then somebody just walks in and just, you know, stands by, and sometimes they even bark off. It's a bit distracting, right?
That's for me.
He's doing another method. Like he's approaching the person, but he's telling him indirectly to another way. Yeah. Good. Okay. Anybody has any one last question or so before we conclude? In general, we sort of thoroughly discussed the three different types of devotees in this section. It's one of the more important verses on a practical level. Okay. So we'll conclude for today, and tomorrow you should be in readiness for text number 6 and then 7 and 8 together, like that. So we'll do two presentations also tomorrow from teams. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta kori Vaishnavrinda ki jai. Sai Guru Premanande. Thank you.